Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:05 PM. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 13th. And today we saw that stock markets were a little bit steadier, and most particularly the Nasdaq, which was up about two-thirds of 1%. When we look at this Nasdaq chart, then we're presented with the largest pullback we've seen in a year. That happened on Friday. Then we had a little bit of stability coming in on Monday, and it was up a bit more today. But this is not the kind of emphatic bounce back that we've seen following previous moves. Even the one that we had in May, the subsequent rally, it had completely unwound the pullback within 3 days. So unless we're going to have a very large advance tomorrow, then this is a slower rebound. I'm posting a quote today from Louis Navalier's piece that he puts out, and what I was surprised by is just how sanguine it is, saying, "Oh well, this is just a fantastic buying opportunity. These are fantastic shares. You need to just jump in and get them right now." To me, that seems to be rather cavalier. We have seen a very large pullback. This stands out on the chart. And when we think about it, this qualifies as a clear downward dynamic. Its saving grace is that it rallied off the low on Friday. But the reality is that we have seen there is an incredible amount of complacency in this market, most particularly towards some of the shares that have got some of the widest overextensions relative to their trend means. Even the Nasdaq itself, the wider index of 100 shares, despite the fact that it is heavily influenced by some mega cap technology shares, only 5 of them, it is still really quite overextended relative to the trend mean. So there are two potential outcomes here. One is that we're in a process of mean reversion, and that that mean reversion could unfold gradually or swiftly, or perhaps a combination of both, or there is an alternative that this is an accelerating market, and that the overextension relative to the trend mean will become progressively wider. But that only represents obviously a very key bullish factor, but we know how that kind of action eventually ends, that this market has been rallying since 2009. It is currently 2017. So we are at least 7 years into a bull market. And that doesn't mean that it can't go for 8 years or 9 years. But if the market is accelerating higher, then that is pricing in progressively more bullish news into the present time. And then the potential outcome is that we have a much larger pullback. So what happens next is going to really tell us a lot about where we are in terms of the market cycle. And I think a lot of people will, I have also been quite surprised that despite the fact that we have had sharp pullbacks in a number of technology shares, that the wider market has been comparatively unaffected. The S&P 500 was able to rally well off its low on Friday, and that has got back up now, and in fact is probably posting a new closing high in here today. So this has been really quite, really very firm. The Russell 2000 has been largely range-bound for 6 months, and it is testing the upper side of its range. So if we ask ourselves simple questions, how much profit erosion have people that are invested in the Russell or in the S&P 500 experienced? Not at all. Have they had their bullish complacency challenged in any real way? The answer is no. So therefore, nothing has happened to scare them out of their positions, and this continues to represent a reasonably firm market. But we do need to look at some other factors. The Federal Reserve is making its interest rate announcement tomorrow. And if we look at 30-year Treasury futures, they're currently trading around 154. This represents close to the upper side of the range. When we look at it on a weekly basis, we can see that that 155 area now represents the upper side of the range, but also the region of the trend mean. The 10-year and the 5-year have almost exactly the same patterns. So that is this is a big point where we ask questions. Is this deterioration in the price action that has been evident since the middle of 2016. Is this going to continue? And are we going to see higher yields from here or lower prices? Or are prices going to be able to sustain a rally? This really is a big decision point. And I think what investors will be looking for isn't so much whether the Fed raises interest rates. I think that is already in the price. But rather, they're going to be looking for any kind of signal as to what's going to happen in September. The Fed has been talking about raising rates three or four times this year, and they're also now beginning to talk about normalizing the size of the balance sheet, and it's at $4 trillion. I don't think there's anybody is contemplating that it is going to get below 2 trillion, but still, if the biggest buyer in the market, rather than investing, turns to divesting of their holdings, well, that is going to represent a sea change in sentiment, because there are so many people who would have been riding on the coattails of the Fed and helping, or hoping at least, to benefit from the momentum, that if the Fed stops buying and in fact turns into a seller, or at least stops reinvesting their maturing debt and simply just removes that source of demand from the market, that is a significant challenge, because that represents a major buyer deserting the market, and that means that anyone who's left over needs to buy more to support prices. But how many people are going to be eager to do that when they no longer have the surety of Fed-backed momentum in the market is a very large question, which of course is why the price has been pausing here in the upper side of this range. But when we go to the shorter side of the curve, we're presented with a different picture altogether, whereas the 30, 10, and 5-year all have pretty similar charts. And this one is the 5-year. We can see that not only did it take a step down in 2013, but it took a step down in 2016 as well. So this is what I think we could say is the transitionary chart. It is looking different to both the 30 and the 10-year, and for the moment the 5-year, excuse me, the 2-year is ticker is deserting me. Sorry, it is TU1. This is a very different chart because it's trending lower. We have a clear progression of lower rally highs, and it took a step down in 2016, and it has failed in the region of the 200-day moving average on successive occasions since 2013. So there was perhaps one bullish wobble within the context of an overall top formation development phase in 2016, but subsequently prices really picked up on the downside and made up in terms of momentum for any kind of steadying that we had in 2016. This is a reasonably consistent decline, and a clear move above the trend mean would be required to even begin to contemplate that this isn't going to continue. Well, if we have a reasonably inert environment on the long end of the curve and we have higher yields on the short end, well, that is contributing to a flattening of the yield curve. The 210 spread, which we regard as the yield curve spread, has contracted from about 300 basis points to 100 basis points in the last few years. And we know that it is a harbinger of recessions if it goes into negative territory. The trajectory of and the consistency of the tightening of that yield curve that suggests that we are going to have a recession at some point in the next few years. If that's indeed the case, and we have accelerating markets, or we have markets that are looking progressively, and I think that we can argue about valuations, and we can argue about future potential. But one something that we can't possibly argue about is that the price of shares is considerably higher today than it was 7 years ago, and that means that while this does not and the current wobble that we've had probably does not represent a big top, but it probably does represent at least a pause, potentially a medium-term pause within the context of an otherwise bullish environment. If we were to look out over maybe the next 2 or 3 years, then the potential is that we are going to have a recession. So I think that does have to at the present moment, and depending on what happens with the bond market, it is going to have an effect on the equity markets. So this is a time, I think, to be just a little bit more cautious. And if that's the case, we should probably look at some of the things that would perhaps benefit from that kind of environment. Gold prices today were pretty much unchanged, but they were off their low. It has pulled back over the last four sessions, and now we are beginning to see the first signs, perhaps, that some of the selling is abating. Brent crude prices have pulled back in a dynamic manner over the last 4 weeks. They're back in an area of potential support. There is a short-term oversold condition, so there is now the potential for a bounce, and that could potentially take us back up towards the middle of the $50 handle, but probably unlikely to move below above the $55 region. This is likely to remain a very volatile environment. And copper prices have really been very inert. This has been a very steady reversion back towards the mean following an explosive breakout in October and November of last year. I saw an article today saying that there's going to have to be there's going to, excuse me, that the electric car market is going to require considerably more copper, and that represents a demand growth story. That at least would help to confirm what we're seeing in the price action, that we've had this massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend, and now we've had this steady first step above it, and that really it's a sustained move below that psychological $2.50 area would even be required to question that this isn't a consolidation with a view to it breaking upwards at some point in the future. Then when we look at, and I think it's probably worth looking at Bitcoin. It has got, I think now people are starting to talk about it as an uncorrelated asset. Certainly it is uncorrelated because it just keeps going up regardless of what else happens to anything else. It posted a very large key reversal yesterday from, it got up to 3,000 and didn't like it much up there. And while it is a bit firmer in here today, what we can say certainly is that the pace of the advance has moderated, and that we are getting considerably more volatility creeping in here, suggesting that the imbalance between supply and demand that contributed to that rocketing advance from 1,000 to 2,500 is not as convinced that it is going to go from 2,500 to 5,000 in the same period of time, and that we're definitely getting some evidence of some profit taking, which could contribute to greater volatility. And when we, I think, look at the market, that this is still a, because we've had really no evidence of profit taking or profit erosion in the wider markets, that's likely to contribute more to a reasonably steady corrective environment where we get perhaps a rotation rather than a very swift pullback. I think anything that is very clearly overextended relative to the trend mean is obviously at the greatest risk. But when we look at, for example, the banking index, it was up a bit in here today, but the most important thing it's done is that it has broken that progression of lower rally highs since really the beginning of March. So that is exhibiting some better trading activity. The Nasdaq Biotech Index was again in positive territory in here today. It has been largely range-bound so far this month, but when we look at it on the medium-term chart, it is continuing to firm from the 3,000 area. It has found support in the region of the trend mean, and that trend mean has turned upwards. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if we were to see the biotech sector turning back to a position of outperformance at some point later this year. And that also represents the potential that we're going to get some rotation. That it has really been all about a very small number of shares just about all this year, and that the story for the other half of the year could be something else entirely. So I think that is something that we have to be increasingly I think, on the watch for and aware of that there could very well be a rotation going on in here right now. And when we look at, and take a look at the broader markets internationally, Australia today was one of the better performing markets. It was up about 1.5%, and clearly demonstrating support in the region of the trend mean. This has been a relatively steady pullback, and now we're getting some evidence that support is beginning to be found once more. And I think it is worth just keeping a, whoops, didn't type that very well. Keeping an eye on the banking sector as well. The banks have pulled back much more than the wider market, and they really just showed the first evidence today that some short covering might be coming in. And the banking index is one of the better yielding sectors in Australia, yielding 5.77%, and the price earnings ratio of about 14, while not single digits, is certainly not in the realm of the extraordinary either. So that would suggest that Australia may have seen or be coming towards the end of what has been a corrective phase over the last couple of months. And I think a lot of people will be continuing to look at China, so I think we should also look at the banking sector there. This is a largely manipulated market, and there was a manipulated advance following that break below the trend mean, and now that it has got right up to the upper side of the range, perhaps some of that impetus is running dry. But nonetheless, the fact that banks are right up at the upper side of their range is helping to allay some fears about well, the same fears that everyone has been worried about in China for quite a long time. And the renminbi, having chastened some of the bears over the last while, and part of the reason that the renminbi has firmed up over the last month is because the People's Bank of China has attempted to defend the $3 trillion level, and they have seen their reserves shrinking by about $1 trillion, and they have then begin to start accumulating them once more. So some steadiness coming into that depletion has contributed to the strength of the renminbi. But if they are perhaps now looking more at a peg to the dollar rather than a floating curve, then we can anticipate that this is going to be much more inert going forward. And not least because there are significant political gyrations to be expected over the summer, and that is likely to be combated by the by officialdom, by relatively ensuring, or that they're just going to buy a lack of volatility. And I think that's probably what we can anticipate. And the Indian market, which has really been among the better performers this year, and it is within striking distance of the psychological 10,000 level, but I suspect that we are going to get some pause and consolidation, but probably in a consistent manner, that we really haven't seen a pullback of more than about 200 points at any time since the beginning of the year. And there's the potential that all we're going to get right now is another one of those 150 to 200 point declines before we see additional upside. This continues to represent really a very consistent advance. The Nikkei has in Japan was has paused in the region of this 20,000 level. It hasn't pulled back in a dynamic manner at all. Part of the reason for that is because the yen, despite the fact that it has been rather firm, has been I think, you know, steady around this 110 level. If it were surging below 110, well, that would represent really quite the headwind for the Nikkei. But I think we are having some evidence at least that the yen is encountering resistance in the region of this 110 level and the region of the trend mean. As long as it can continue to hold around that 110 level, that's likely to or I guess the better way to say it is that it's unlikely to represent more than a short-term obstacle to the Nikkei from being able to sustain a move above 20,000. So I think when we look at this wider market, there are risks, but at the same time, this is still early days, and I think that the greatest risk are in things that are way overextended relative to the trend mean. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.